Clinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
You can do what you feel. Life is a Ferris wheel. Come take a ride. It's on the inside where you will find it's all in your mind.
Listen.
You take a friend of mine. He was at all the time. Then he got smart.
This is Siren FM.
The Green Hornet, Bonanza, Murder, She Wrote, The Mod Squad, Honey West, Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
That'll be you then, Arthur. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, and almost happy Thanksgiving, when, of course, as a good American citizen, you give thanks for having sort of knocked the British Isles into touch a good couple of hundred years ago plus, really.
Yeah. You know, there were more Brits at the first Thanksgiving than there were Americans.
Well, exactly. It's worth, yeah, worth noting from that particular line alone.
Right.
Anyway, how is the... Because Annette, presumably, who joins us next week, is probably just about to emerge now, blinking into the sunset, into this whole brave new dawn of a president-elect who, shall we say, maybe interesting times lie ahead for us all.
Yes, yeah, without a doubt. The wonderful thing is to watch someone disassemble every day into somebody new. I mean, this creature who was going to put Hillary Clinton in jail now loves her. He went to the New York Times yesterday, his hated enemy, and said it was a failing and rotten newspaper and would be out of business in a year. And he left after a 2-hour session there saying it was a jewel and it was something to be treasured for all time. This man whose radar stems mirror deep is a wonder.
Exactly. I mean, you know, in terms of international routine, we could actually look at the Treaty of Stettin in 1630, in which the town of Stettin came under the control of the Swedish Empire. It was fortified and remained a Swedish-controlled fortress until 1720, when it was acquired by the Kingdom of Prussia and became the capital of the province of Pomerania, which after 1870 was part of the German Empire. The reason I've actually decided to actually have some Stettin-flavoured facts into the programme today, Arthur, is we have a Stettin-born lass in the studio, Marta.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we do. Martina Vieca, making her debut on the Midweek Drive.
Isn't that a wonderful name, Martina Viega. Ooh, I like that.
Exactly.
I like that. She could be a class one villainess with a name like that. Yeah.
I do think actually there are elements of Martina that could actually be class one villainous oriented. But yeah, she's too nice. She's too nice. We also, of course, have the legendary Snart sisters. That would be Tessa Snart and Lois Snart.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Hi. Hannah is with us, of course. Hannah Brown.
Hello, Hannah. Hello.
And Natasha Armstrong.
Hi there.
Hello, Natasha. So, hello.
Yeah. So, Martina, you've probably had a chance to just flick through one of Arthur's wonderful books that I provided for you. I just thought a little speed reading exercise, of course,
just
over
about.
There. Yes, exactly. Anything catch your eye with respect to The Sky is Falling or in life in general, really? Because Arthur's very sort of amenable to chat about everything, really, as you'd expect.
Well, to be honest, I actually didn't know that the Empire State Building was that the plane flew into it in 1945.
Exactly.
So that's a new interesting fact.
When is the movie
today.
Going to be made, Arthur? That's what we need to know.
Oh, I think I need another lifetime. Oh. I have had more deals, more options, more of this, and each time it falls apart.
One day. Look at it this way. Yeah. You know, we could always say that from 1999 onwards, Stettin has served as the site of the headquarters of NATO's multinational corps, Northeast.
The last one who wanted to do it was George Roy Hill, the director of The Sting and lots of other things, who was a Navy pilot during World War II, and he was desperate to do it. But then he had the misfortune to die.
Very inconsiderate of him in many ways, Arthur. I hope
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure, Arthur, having worked in Hollywood, you know that death has not stopped many producers from still producing their best work.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely. The hand from the grave operates every day.
Exactly. Lois, any questions for Arthur Weingarten from yourself? No.
No idea
whatsoever. Well, we've been talking about baking today, Arthur, and the Midweek Drivettes will be taking part in a Midweek Drive baking challenge in a matter of weeks or no, actually.
Yes.
And we've been getting suggestions in terms of what sort of line they should take as far as baking is concerned. Now, I'm not sure, Arthur, whether you are a culinary genius, whether sometimes you say, Annette, get out of the kitchen, I need to actually be creative, or vice versa. But have you any thoughts in terms of baking? I mean, let's say, What do you think Hannah or Natasha or Lois or Martina or indeed Tessa should actually consider in terms of the... I mean, if they were going to be baking for yourself, Arthur, what would you effectively sort of say, yeah, this is...
Well, you couldn't have been more topical just yesterday. Excuse me. Just yesterday I said to Annette that I haven't had in years one of the best things she has ever baked, which is bread pudding. And so we have determined we will make it this week, or she will make it this week. So
this
there you are.
Now, culturally, Martina's already shaking her head saying, bread pudding? What is this word of which you sort of utter? Natasha, would you like bread pudding? How do you define bread pudding? Because, of course, it could lose something in the American to English translation.
Just
we don't know.
Very
well,
warm,
here
in comforting it, loveliness, just hot.
Yeah.
Oh, custard. Preferably custard. I don't know if you're into custard, but I love custard. Custard makes everything better.
Did you have custard, Arthur?
Yes, oh, of course, sure. But you see, here in America, they don't know bread pudding. They actually just throw in some white bread and, you know, that's the end of it.
Please.
Yes, I mean, it's dreadful. But good English bread pudding is just absolutely wonderful. And there's so many variations. Each, you know, everybody's got their own idea of it, I guess, but... I just love it. I love that.
In the Snart family, is it a case of when the sisters return, Lois, does your mum get out the bread pudding?
It's Dad's favourite, isn't it? Dad loves a good bread and butter pudding.
Right.
Our household loves the hearty meals, like my nanny's all about. Mm. Well,
but we're more of
good puddings.
Victoria sponge.
Things like that.
Victoria sponge.
Yeah.
And Hannah?
I do love bread and butter pudding. My mum makes it in the winter, and I haven't had it for a little while now, actually. Obviously, being at uni for a lot of the winter, I'm just missing home now. So I'll go home and get my mum to bake
some
food.
But it is, you know, it's comfort food. It's nursery food, and you tend to forget about it, or at least I did. And then suddenly, when you want it, you really want it, you remember. Yeah. You know who used to make a great one was Marks and Spencer. I don't know if they still do, but for a commercial one, it was good.
Yeah. Clearly, the notion of actually going out and purchasing a cake which they can enter would be, I don't know. Somebody did actually try that, in fact, 2 years ago. They ended up working for the BBC. Are we surprised? I know. It's shocking.
How could they?
Yeah, it was. It set ramifications in all sorts of ways. Martina, apple pie, is that a particular favourite of yours, or is it just your sister who says, bake my sister Martina an apple pie and she'll forgive me anything?
she just bakes everything for me. The apple pie was amazing. It was lovely.
Would you like to name check your sister? We give her a name check.
Victoria.
There we are, Victoria. Not Victoria Sponge, Victoria.
Different Victoria. Yeah.
Bearing in mind catering costs, Arthur, when you were producing, be it Birda She Wrote, May Gray, any of those things, did you have to bear in mind that an army marches on its stomach, have to look at the catering costs, and were there times where you thought, look, let them make do with a bacon sandwich?
No, catering is a major, major part. As a matter of fact, you brought up something when you mentioned producing May Gray. When I was doing the first May Gray with out in Bristol, we had a huge problem with catering. Yeah. In that the Columbia Pictures was my partner and HTV was the British partner, and HTV under Patrick Drumgoole was very noted for who left the light on burning last night. He's fired. So the catering was dreadful. And we had a 3-hour strike from both the actors and the crew because they refused to eat the catering food, and I stood up on their side, of course. But it was the first time that I ever saw a company rise up all at one, because they were served a breakfast of bangers and mash that was truly unedible. Truly.
When you say that breakfast of bangers and mash, was it a case of they hadn't actually properly skinned the sausages? Was it a case of there were bits
everything
of
that could be wrong? Seriously, everything that could be wrong. When you heard that in the Crimea War, the food, the maggots were going in and out of the food for the poor people, you know, this was just short of that. It was unedible.
You see,
I want to tell you what I did. On King Street in Bristol, not a quarter of a mile from the studios, was a wonderful restaurant. And I sent over our runner to the restaurant and said, could you make a breakfast and deliver it here inside of 2 hours for everybody with a full English menu and all? And they did. They did. In 2 hours, we had hot meals, and everybody went back to work very happy after that. And I had a battle of about 8 months with Patrick Drumgoole, the head of HTV in those days, to pay the bill for that. He was the villain of the piece.
These are the kind of classical lines that are actually there, which is very vital to the whole thing. Hannah, questions from yourself.
Is there anything you're working on recently that you'd like to share with us?
I'm doing I can't talk about it yet, but I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, a series that takes place on the cusp of World War II in England, and it's about a village that appears and disappears due to a foul-up. By a failed experiment, a scientific experiment. And it's, I don't know if anybody there except Alex knows about the stage play and film Brigadoon, but it was about a mythical village that appears every now and then. And I took that as a theme. So that's, I'm working on that now. And it's a kind of comedy drama.
Yeah, Brigadoon. It's like Lincoln in many ways, as Anna will actually say when if she ever returns. Fades in, fades out, fades out, fades in. Tessa,
yes.
Thoughts for yourself?
Yes, I want to know what you're doing for Thanksgiving or what you've been doing. Or
I'll tell you what we do. We're vegetarian, so we don't eat turkey. and things like that. But we have all sorts of substitutes, soy substitutes. But we have it here, and we invite family and friends, and it's one of our favorite meals, Thanksgiving. And that's what we do. Yeah.
Well, it's an extraordinary sort of thing in which another one of those celebratory things. And yeah. Any thoughts on Black Friday, Arthur? Or is that a case of, no, you're much more of a Cyber Monday person?
Black Friday. I mean, we watch these things on television, how people kill each other to get a flat-screen TV. It's unbelievable.
It's not worth it. You know, honestly, just step away from the thing.
Yeah, of course, of course. Listen, I who don't use a computer or have a cell phone, as a matter of fact, I have a new thing. Oh, I must tell you this. No, I've just entered the 19th century.
No.
Thereabouts. Yes, yes, yes. I am, at this moment, Annette's computer is in a chain store here in town called Best Buy, which is a big computer store, and downloading a software program that I myself bought called Dragon. And what Dragon does is I write in longhand, and then I type it on my Bartlett 1927 British typewriter. And I've gotten tired of typing it on my British typewriter. So someone told me about this program. You talk into it, and it types it and puts it on the disk or a flash stick and stuff like that. So.
Well, what can I say, Arthur? I mean, just when we thought you were sort of leaving with no surprise whatsoever, the shock news comes that you're using modern digital technology to open up a whole routine. It's awesome.
Now, mind you, it's being downloaded. I haven't tried it yet. It may be that it is going back to Best Buy after one or two tries. I don't know.
I'm sure it'll still be there. And, of course, other stores are available in case you're wondering about, are they promoting that particular brand? No, it's all right. We're fine on that basis. Hannah, last two questions for Arthur, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have. I have.
Is it the equivalent of an audio version of a bread and butter pudding, basically, Arthur? I mean, that's a
yes,
comfort line, yes, kind of metaphorical
yes.
line. Here.
Next time we talk, I will give you a Monday morning review of Annette's latest bread and butter pudding. So
well,
there you are.
I think that would be fairly essential, and you know, leads neatly to the next question, which of course is:
will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, I certainly hope so. Yes, without a doubt.
Splendid. That's all we actually needed to hear.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. I could say day.
And it will be time to deck the halls with bells and holly, but certainly all that decking and decoration in a season that we're supposed to be jolly in could have impacts on our overdrafts, on our credit lists, all sorts of other areas. Certainly new research from Nationwide has revealed that the average Brit will spend half a month's salary on Christmas, which leaves one in five suffering financially for 3 months or more, and one in three regretting the amount spent over Christmas. Now, to hopefully act as a guardian angel, like the angel at the top of the tree, really, to begin to address these issues, we've got ace financial expert Jasmine Birtles. Good morning, Jasmine. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Good morning. Yes, I am the fairy on the top of the tree.
Exactly.
That's who I am.
And so, looking at this whole perspective, clearly it's always a case of balance, but this season we talk about balance. Some folk have started their Christmas shopping back in January of this year. But what's the best way forward? Is it a case of take a deep breath and actually plan out the sort of the budgets that we're working with?
Well, yes, I think you've got it in one there. Yeah, it's taking a deep breath and planning a little bit. And as you say, there are people, and I hold up my hand at this moment now to say that I am one of those that spreads it across the year. I have a presence box. I have a presence, actually in a presence cupboard at the moment. It gets a bit full at this time. Yeah, I do. I spread it across the year. But another, as you say, another great thing to do is to do even just a rough budget. Think, you know, let's have a rough idea of who we've got to buy for and the Christmas food and drink that we want. How much could we genuinely afford, and try to stick to that if you possibly can.
Back in the 20th century, it would seem that the traditional Christmas Eve rush for last-minute shopping was an essential part of the whole routine. With an online environment, has that changed slightly? Are we gradually shifting more to online shopping as a way forward?
Absolutely, yes. In fact, I heard some stats from the Future Foundation, these futurists recently, that said that we are... more and more we're all buying online, and I think from when it comes to 2025, 88% of us will have shopped online. And certainly every year you see more and more people are doing their shopping at Christmas, or their Christmas shopping online, because, hey, it's so much easier. Why wouldn't you, frankly?
Indeed. Although I'm still not quite sure how Black Friday, which actually comes after the American Thanksgiving feast, really echoes into the whole system. But I suppose it's a way in which online retailers have obviously marketed Black Friday again as an opportunity to increase their sales.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, even the news, the Nationwide stats have shown that 55% of us right now are buying stuff online for Christmas. And Black Friday is, as you say, it's really, and Cyber Monday, it's all kind of in the same weekend. It's big news now. Obviously, you've also got Black Friday on the high street, and that's a big thing as well. But it's so much easier for people now online, and we are getting used to getting, frankly, the best prices online because they don't have the overheads. And it's a lot easier to shop around and compare prices. You know, you can't do that on the high street. You have to go into every single shop, whereas online, you just put it into your search bar and keep looking. So more and more people are seeing the value of buying online. And also, when you're buying stuff online, you can send it back for whatever reason. You've got up to 14 days. And not all shops will take things back now. A lot will. But, you know, if there's nothing wrong with it, a lot of them go, well, no, sorry, you know, because legally they don't have to.
Absolutely. Caveat emptor, I suppose, is the classic line. Now, I see that, again, part of the Nationwide survey revealed a number of interesting and somewhat concerning statistics. First of all, the notion that 29% of us will argue about where to go for Christmas. Will it be with the in-laws? Will it be at home, etc.? That can't be good. And that the average person will have 1.87 arguments every Christmas. I'm not sure how the 0.87 emerges.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Still?
Exactly. How do you have 0.87 of an argument?
Yeah,
I mean, yes, you know, all joking aside, one of the problems, I think, of Christmas, and it's not Christmas itself, it's the build-up, it's all the what you hear on from people and on the television and radio and everything, you know, oh, Christmas, it's a lovely time, it's a happy time. And, of course, it regularly isn't. So you've got that big disconnect between how it's built up and how it actually is, particularly if you're you're struggling with money, and maybe there are problems in the family anyway, and there you are, all stuffed together with the in-laws that you basically despise, all like rats in a cage. And, you know, within minutes sometimes the arguments start, particularly, you know, if you've got maybe mum in the kitchen and she's feeling put upon, nobody's helping her. There are so many reasons why you can get into an argument, and a lot of it spills over into violence. And then, as you know, in January, the first week of January is the biggest for applications for divorce. There are all the lawyers, you know, they're ready for people to come into their offices saying, right, that's it, getting divorced. They tend to leave it for a week or two, because after a couple of weeks, half of them come back and go, oh, actually, no, I'll stick with him.
You see, clearly, Jasmine, this is why not only are you a financial expert, but you're also a relationship expert as well. So, you know, you're doing double duty on this particular aspect.
Well, you know, according to Relate, arguments about money are the number one cause of divorce. So, you know, you kind of have to be.
Well, there we are. Now, moneymagpie.com, I would suggest, is an ideal go-to website to find out some of the thoughts that we've been talking about today. Are there any other sort of websites that you suggest if people are getting a little bit stressed about various other factors and considering about whether to get a fake tree, a real tree, all of those kind of issues, where should they go?
Well, certainly nationwide.co.uk is really good for ideas on how to cut back and budget for your Christmas. That's a really good one. And also, do you know, I would have a look at, I would just put saving for Christmas or Christmas savings into your search bar, because every single money website is going to be putting all sorts of ideas. I've certainly, on Money Magpie, as you say, we've got loads of articles on how to save for Christmas and how to make money for Christmas. That's another one. That's a fun thing to do. There are all sorts of things you can do to make a bit of extra cash in the run up to Christmas.
I always found the emergence of the pop-up calendar stores around about 2 or 3 months to go is the initial sort of trigger.
Yes.
And then sort of anticipated there by various sort of other things like the Children in Need Appeal and so on and so forth, which
yes.
opens up a whole variety of things. But Jasmine, whatever the scenario, I'm sure you will have an absolutely outstanding holiday season. I'll maintain the political correctness from this particular aspect. What the hey? Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have had a more than reasonably interesting telephonic link. It's been wonderful. Thank you very much. And I hope I can come back again.
Absolutely, Jasmine Birtles. The whole sort of financial world would collapse if you were not sort of a regular contributor to the whole sort of system.
It totally would, wouldn't it? And I'm so glad that you realise that, yes.
Jasmine Birtles, many thanks indeed.
Thank you.
Indeed so. Of course, the ideal Christmas present would surely be a subscription to Starburst magazine. Isn't that right, Ed Fortune?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's a fantastic Christmas present, and you should definitely get that for yourself and your entire family and all your friends.
Nicely put. Lead writer with Starburst magazine and the person who's given 10 out of 10 to one of his major reviews in the, it's not quite the recent edition, but issue 430. Now, Hannah, what do you think Ed Fortune might have given 10 out of 10 stars for in his review section? Could it possibly be the exciting world of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
I saw that yesterday. Please let it be Fantastic Beasts. Oh, I loved it.
Could it be the classic Cry Havoc Volume 1, Mything in Action? See what they did there? Mything in Action.
Haven't heard of that one.
Or could it be the Haynes Wonderful Guide to the Millennium Falcon, the Millennium Falcon Manual, 1977 onwards. Haynes Manuals, a UK phenomenon. One of the typical rites of passage for a British teen is that after getting your hands on a usually poor quality second-hand car, the next thing you would buy is a Haynes Manual for the model of that car. What do you think it might have been?
I'm going to go Fantastic Beasts, as I just love it. It might not be, but for me, Fantastic Beasts is 10 out of 10 every time.
Well, you've heard the words of Hannah Brown. Are you going to disappoint her, Ed? I mean, you know, as you see.
I absolutely adored Fantastic Beasts, but it was one of my colleagues who reviewed that for the magazine, not myself. I got to see it after, when everyone else got to see it, basically. I didn't get to go to a special screening for that one, unfortunately. What I did do is get to power through all of the Haynes manuals. And I had the Millennium Falcon one thrown at me because I actually have the schematics for the Millennium Falcon on my wall. So there you go. What I liked about that Haynes manual is as close as possible as they could have gotten to a full strip down and repair. Which, you know, is what you expect from him.
Exactly. Hold together, baby. You hear me? Hold together. You know, it's very critical to the whole sort of sequence in Star Wars scenario. I actually made the choice to go and see the Amy Adams Arrival as opposed to Fantastic Beasts because I felt, you know, one was going to go a lot sooner than the other, so I decided to opt for that. But when Martina Vieca was introduced to the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment, Starburst, of course, in my office a matter of hours ago before the show, which was something minor sort of concern about what we're doing in this particular area. She's from Stettin originally. Nice place, northwestern Poland. It's fair to say, Martika, you actually sort of went white. You said, not science fiction. Oh, no.
I have no idea about that.
So our mission, clearly aired together with Hannah and Natasha, is to gradually wean Martina along in terms of, I mean, you know, Tessa, you've experienced this, haven't you?
Once you get into it, it's actually very interesting, definitely. There's just so many things in life, though, to learn.
So many things in life, etc. So how would you actually promote the latest magazine edition of Starburst magazine to Martina and, indeed, the entire country of Poland?
Well, the issue I've got in my hand is issue 431, which is a Rogue One issue, and flipping through it kind of idly, it is very science fiction because we're all very excited by Starburst, by Star Wars, even Rogue One that's coming out.
It's got Felicity Jones.
Indeed. I mean, the magazine itself opens with a bit about Steve Dillon, which, like you said, lost the chap behind Preacher. An awful lot of stuff about Star Wars, so if you don't know anything about Star Wars or science fiction, you're pretty much sorted in the latest issue.
Natasha, I just appeal to you, Star Wars, lots of stuff about Star Wars and Star Wars Rogue One, would that be on your list of things to do?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer, I've seen, there's two out there at the minute, and I prefer one of them much over the other, but it looks very good. I wasn't considering going to see it, because originally... I thought, oh, it'll just be another spin-off, it won't be that good. But actually, it looks amazing, and it's great to see that they're bringing in, you know, the original storyline with the Death Star and everything like that. So I think it'll actually be a very interesting watch.
It's interesting what Disney are planning to do, because it seems that they're following the sort of Marvel formula, where the Marvel movies have superheroes in them, but one of them's a thriller, one of them's an action adventure, one of them's a mystery, one of them's, you know, one of them's sort of like horror, and so on. They're all different types of movies with the same sort of setting. So far, all the Star Wars movies have pretty much been various levels of space fantasy action adventure. But Rogue One looks like it's going to be military thriller. It's almost espionage. And for that franchise to survive, they plan on churning out all these movies regularly. We're going to get a Star Wars movie every year, and they're not all going to be space fantasy adventure. They're going to be different stories set in that world, because that means that more people can watch them and enjoy them. Not everyone, you know, science fiction is just a container that you put other story ideas in. You know, a science fiction story can also be a thriller, it can also be a romance, it can also be all these other things. So it's really interesting that they've taken Star Wars, which is the, you know, the most obvious and iconic of these, and turned it into a thing.
Lois Lane, or is it Snart? I often get too confused. Lois, your views on Star Wars and science fiction and so on?
I can't say I'm the biggest fan, but no. I'm sure if I gave it a watch, I could get into it. Mm. I'm sure.
Martina, what was your last movie that you went to go and see?
Oh, that was a while ago. It was... Actually, no, I just remembered. I went to see Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Now, what did you make of Suicide Squad?
I don't think I can say it live.
I think the message is coming across there, right? In terms of Martina, not very sort of. Was it a thumbs up or a thumbs down or kind of?
Kind of halfway down.
Yeah,
did you not like it?
No.
Oh,
I have to say, I didn't particularly like Suicide Squad. Mm.
And yet, Lois, you would rate Suicide Squad.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. See, there we are. That's the range of diverse opinion that we've actually got.
I think it depends. If you're a real sci-fi fan, I think you look at it in depth, whereas if you're just watching it as a film, I think, like Lo, because she's not, say, into it as much, I think she can just watch it as the film. Whereas I suppose you'll look at it from...
I thought it was okay. I will disagree with Phil Dearness in terms of this sort of scenario, and I will do when he comes on in a few moments' time to actually sort of... He had a top 10 of musicals this week in Chill Pack Hollywood. It was very good. Okay. Lots of interesting choices. Mary Poppins. That was
a good film.
I even had Willy Wonka, another musical. Busby Berkeley. There are all sorts of classics there. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But anyway, Natasha, your thoughts on this? I mean, did you catch Suicide Squad, or is it a case of, no, I'm Marvel, I'm pure Marvel. I see Doctor Strange, I will not see anything else.
I didn't actually get around to seeing Suicide Squad, unfortunately. But then I would consider myself, unfortunately, more of a Marvel fan than I am DC.
No, but it's not unfortunate, it's just the way it is.
I've seen the Batmans, and that's how far I've strayed into it. And I have watched Superman, but Superman kind of put me off the whole DC film genre. I just thought it was a bit over the top, whereas Marvel's over the top, but in some ways it's also believable, I think, especially with the character.
Especially
I think it's the
Doctor
characters.
Strange, how much more believable can you actually get? Really?
Oh, no, Doctor Strange I didn't particularly enjoy, unfortunately. I'm sorry, everyone.
I'm going to have to move. I can't sit next to you,
everyone. Controversy has struck, Ed. I'm sorry, but, you know... is this like sort of getting a flashback to to Jordan Rice in the Starburst office once again when he starts bringing out his love for Blair Witch Project? Only kidding, Jordan. We know it's not one of your biggest ones.
He wasn't a massive fan of the remake, and in fairness, I wasn't a massive fan of the original, to be honest. My favourite Blair Witch spin-off has to be the Scooby-Doo version. They did a series of Scooby-Doo adverts back in the day when it first came out, and they're absolutely hilarious, and you can find them on YouTube, on Adult Swim probably still. But yeah, for me, Suicide Squad was like someone who'd made this absolutely lovely, lovely cake, and then they dropped it, and then they tried to mush it together by adding some more random stuff on top, and then they dropped it again, and it's just a mess of a movie. The first act doesn't make sense, the second act doesn't make sense, and the third act also doesn't make sense, but in different ways. So it's not even consistent. Love Doctor Strange. I think Starburst in general just completely adored Doctor Strange, to be honest. Kind of properly psychedelic, properly weird, dealt with the material well, given all the problems you could have had with that movie. They dealt with the material very well indeed. Looking forward to Wonder Woman. Hopefully this time DC will get one right. Fingers crossed, eh?
We've got Wonder Woman and Justice League upcoming, plus, of course, the next Planet of the Apes movie. And more exciting things.
Isn't this the most important DC movie that's coming out? Well, Lego Batman.
Well, there is, of course, Lego Batman. Which, you know,
possibly the best Batman movie ever made. We
expect. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I still think it's I have to go some to beat the Adam West 1966 version, because that surely actually sort of stands in so many ways from that point of view. Of course, let's not forget the Doctor Strange 1978 TV scenario with Peter Hooton in a Phil de Guerre scenario, which I noticed John Higgins had given 7 stars to. It's not bad.
Have you seen Dr. Mordred?
No.
Okay, so Dr. Mordred was, back in the day, there was a kind of straight-to-video production house called Dark Moon, and they did all sorts of weird movies, and they had the rights to Doctor Strange until they got all their stuff together. They were about to make this movie, and then unfortunately, just as they were ready to production, Marvel didn't renew, and they lost the license. So you can Google again Dr. Mordred, and it's essentially Doctor Strange. It's the same idea, the same concept. They've just filed off the serial numbers, changed the name slightly.
By the hoary hosts of Hogarth and the all-seeing eye of Agamotto, can such things be done in the world of television and entertainment?
Sorry. Exactly. It's very, very cheesy. It's got the actor who played Reanimator.
What's not to love after you've seen this giant papier-mâché boulder is actually really heavy.
Brilliant movie.
Classic in so many ways. And Louis Servi was absolutely right when he pointed that out in this year's Sci-Fi London Film Festival as a must-see. And that has neatly brought us round to the last two questions, which I think, Tessa, it is time for you to actually bowl them down the line to the Fortune Meister. Unless you want to ask about what sort of cake or what sort of baking advice or tips he might have for the Great Bake Off, which we're having in a few weeks' time.
I think we should do that quickly.
Go then.
Do you have any tips for us? We're going to be baking for our Siren Bake Off. So what tips
baking
would you
give? Baking for their very lives in many ways.
So do you have any tips you can give us?
If it's newer than that you're not used to, make sure that you cooked with it beforehand. So each oven is different. So just make sure you know the oven. It's the thing that winds me up about the TV program.
I think they're using their own ovens.
We are, yes.
So that's okay. It's really a case of what kind of design or what kind of area. I mean, we've had bread and butter pudding suggested. Yeah. Okay.
Cookies from Nashville.
Cookies, of course. Tall cookies from Nashville. Yes. Exactly. I mean, is there anything that, from your own point of view, Ed, you'd say, I think they should actually go for this? I mean, Linda was very fulsome on her treacle and her sponge and her drizzle. She liked her drizzle. From your own point of view, Ed?
Oh, just have fun with it and make sure that you get the flour right. It's really easy to get the flour wrong when you're baking. I'm a big fan of lemon drizzle cake and this sort of thing. I find that if you use cheap, nasty flour, it really lets everything down. It's your core ingredient. Just make sure you've got that right and everything else should follow.
That could be a winning suggestion, Ed. That could be the sort of thing which gets people subscribing to Starburst magazine for its cookery features as much as anything else. It's the world's longest running magazine of cult entertainment. There are also podcasts that are companion book podcasts and lots of other things by going to the Starburst website. And I was very excited to find that they're remaking Lost in Space as well, which is very exciting on Netflix and so on. So it's very good. With a female, Dr. Zachary Smith. I know, you've all gone blank. You don't know who Zachary Smith actually was. But never fear, Smith is here was a catchphrase that echoed through the routines, as well as danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger. I actually have a robot from Lost in Space in my office. I might show it to you one of these days. It's tucked away in between sort of first year essays at present.
It would be interesting to see how they get the balance between weird and kind of vintage, right? I think the remake, because it's definitely got that part of its appeal is that vintage feel. That kind of 1950s, exactly. Amazing adventure feel to it.
You've got 2017, the return on Netflix of Star Trek Discovery and Lost in Space. It's like being back in the 60s all over again, you know.
But we live in a world with the Venture Brothers and that kind of post-ironic take on that, on the Gernsback Continuum on the 1950s style. So they can go in several directions, and I hope they don't go for irony. I hope they don't, you know, put their tongues in their cheek, and I hope they just go.
Shall we have the attack of the giant carrots once again? I mean, that would always a classic in its time. These are the things that sort of help a generation cope with Vietnam, I felt. Last
two questions. Nice of the leopards.
No, oh, those giant rabbits with, of course, DeForest Kelly. Okay. Yeah, very awesome. Carry on, Tessa.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
I always do. Thank you very much.
And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, please.
And why? Brilliant. Because in the words of the Lego movie... Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream. Everything is better when we stick together. Side by side, you and I.
Get my body in chocolate frosting. 3 years later, I shot the frosting. Smelling like a blossom, everything is awesome. Stepped in mud, got new brown shoes. It's awesome to win and it's awesome to lose. Awesome to lose. Awesome to lose. Awesome to lose.
Everything is better when we stick together. Side by side, you and I, gonna win forever. Let's party forever. We're the same, I'm like you, you're like me. We're all working in harmony. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome.
that after the flight and expulsion of Germans from Poland during and after World War II and Polish settlement in the newly acquired territories, Szczecin became the administrative and industrial centre of Polish Western Pomerania. It's now the site of the University of Szczecin, Pomeranian Medical University and the Maritime University of Szczecin. Is this all true? It's all true. It's all there. Everything is awesome, especially if it's Polish or Norwegian. Isn't that right, Phil Linus?
Ah, Norwegian, Norway, the land of my people. Thank you for coming on board the Norwave, as we like to call it.
Exactly so. So, Phil, you might have
called... Alex!
Yes.
Alex,
Phil,
Alex, when you say you disagree with me about Suicide Squad...
Uh-huh.
So when you say Phil Lernis, you're now referring to Phil Lernis as the global community, apparently.
Indeed.
Because... So this is already clearly the front runner for worst film of the year, and in fact, if you Google worst film of the year, nothing but Suicide Squad reviews come up. Suicide Squad is the worst of the worst, The Atlantic. Suicide Squad is perfect for 2016, which means it's an absolutely terrible film, The Washington Post. I've got one more that's really fun, and then I'll let this go. Suicide Squad is as bad as you've heard. Denver Post. You know who loves Suicide Squad, Alex? Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And
okay. I totally made that up. I totally made that up. But see, we live in a post-Donald Trump world now where even that is believable.
I don't know.
Can't you picture him with his tiny little fingers tweeting Suicide Squad? It's huge. It's huge. All right. Anyway. But, you know, I want people to just like things. That's it. And the thing is that even, you know, I see, people will ask me this all the time, why do I see bad films? Why do I, you know, because I get something out of all movies. And the truth is that sometimes the movies we love in spite of their flaws. And sometimes we love them because of their flaws, and there's nothing wrong with that. Indeed, that's the same reason we love people, and we love them for how they make us feel, and no one can tell you how something is going to make you uniquely feel.
And there you have it. So, five fantastic midweek drivettes, including the newbie Martina Vieca. Startlingly wonderful, that material for her first show. I think we're very impressed with the whole system. Take you back, Lois, to your very first appearance a few weeks ago, I no doubt, as a fellow first year.
Well, if you remember the very first time
you
I
were
came,
poorly. You were
I
ill. You had to leave
nice.
Halfway through.
Yeah, but so. I made it through my
You did make
first
it.
One.
You made it through the rain.
I did.
And Phil, where do you want to go with your notes for the show today? Or would you like to just give them some advice for the Midweek Drive Holiday Bake Off, which has officially launched this evening and will conclude on December the 14th?
Well, that's an interesting dilemma. Why don't I do both? Because I see that I have almost 20 minutes. So let me start with this. I would like to guess what Ed Fortune gave a perfect 10 out of 10 to in Starburst magazine. It's either Arrival, the movie starring Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner, the science fiction film Extraordinary, or it's TV's Westworld. Am I right?
No, it was the Haynes Manual of the Millennium Falcon.
I was listening.
Yes.
But see, this gives you the opportunity to give make it more interesting.
I know.
Okay. Hey, by the way, you know I always love hearing Arthur Weingarten. You know that. But Arthur Weingarten, hey, slow down on the spoilers about Brigadoon.
I know where you're going. Okay. You've got five blank faces here, Phil. Know the audience. Carry
I know.
Yeah.
I know exactly. So, Brigadoon is a musical, drivettes from, you know, what, 50, 60 years ago now? I guess it was a Broadway musical, and then a in Scotland, though, set in Scotland. And one Phil Lernis once, as a mini minstrel at the San Jose Civic Light Opera, played one of the Dalrymples in a production of Brigadoon. Isn't that
is that almost
impressive?
Like being in love?
I have no idea what you're talking about. This is the
original,
transatlantic translation.
Original production opened in Broadway in 1947 and ran for 581 performances, starring David Brooks,
Whoa.
Marion Bell, and Pamela Britton and Lee Sullivan.
So 70 years ago. But the movie is quite delightful, as I remember, right? With Fred Astaire
Gene Kelly?
Also Gene Kelly?
Gene Kelly and Sid Clarice, 1954.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
of course, the 1966 television version with Robert Goulet and Peter Falk.
Oh, well, okay, thanks. You're giving more information now than even I
that's okay.
Find interesting, but that's why we love you. It is a holiday, you know, coming up here tomorrow on these fair shores of Trump's America.
Is it?
And it's Thanksgiving, which is my favorite of all the holidays, because, first of all, it's the best Thursday of the year, and secondly, because it's a holiday all about just expressing gratitude. There's no buying of things. I mean, I guess there's food, and we celebrate the abundance, and but it's really about embodying gratitude. And so when people, and I understand when they say, boy, wouldn't it be nice if the Christmas spirit could last all year, I always feel like I wish the Thanksgiving spirit could last all year, because how this world would be different if people walked through embodying gratitude all the time. But I wanted to express gratitude, if I may, for an amazing artist who died this past week. And I had talked about her on my show, Chilpak Hollywood Hour, just 8 weeks ago when I saw her courageously take the stage at the Hollywood Bowl. And this is Miss Sharon Jones, a phenomenal soul singer, who, as I said, I saw at the Hollywood Bowl, and she had to leave the stage during the middle of a song because she couldn't breathe. She was undergoing chemotherapy at the time. But the longer the set went on, and the more she sang and the more she danced, the less sick she was, the more alive she was, and she even improvised an entire soul song about how the stage was her happy place, and when she's in her happy place, she can do her happy dance. And it was an extraordinary performance that we saw. And she died this past week of pancreatic cancer at 60. And so I wanted to express gratitude not only for her work, but also for what she embodied, which is one of the most important themes I think we express on our show, Chilpak Hollywood Hour, which is that dreams of creative expression know no expiration date. And for your drivettes, she is evidence that you don't need to know at your age what you're going to do with your life. You don't need to know at 30 what you're going to do with your life. Miss Sharon Jones, one of the greatest soul singers of all time, did not record an album until she was in her 40s. She did not find her calling until then. And yet, it's that which she will be remembered for.
Grace, little lady, you know how I am. You know I can't let you, no, let you slip.
Imagine there for you, Phil, of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings with Wild Horses. Hopefully you realise...
That was perfect. Perfect. Like we planned it,
I know.
Alex. It was extraordinary.
It's spooky, but never mind. That's what comes when you start talking about comfort baking. Anyway, who do you wish to go
so
to
next? I have a question. I have a question relating to the Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. Now, this movie not doing particularly well here in the U.S. It opened number one, but to much less box office than was anticipated. So it's going to end up losing a huge amount of money for Warner Brothers. But the question that I had, and I guess not surprisingly, then one person I know who did see it, none other than Dean Haglund, who rarely sees movies, and he will be reviewing it on this coming week's show, but he not only saw the movie, he saw it in something called 4D. And I had never heard of 4D before, because I don't go into public, you know, because there's people there. But I want to know, is 4D a thing there? Do the kids love the 4D experience at movie theaters?
Hannah.
I can't say I saw a 4D option. There was a 3D option, but I went and saw the 2D option. But isn't the fourth dimension time? Or is that the fifth? Because I get confused because with these places and doing different things, they're like, oh, this is, I've seen somewhere offering a 5D experience. And I'm like, wait, they've gone one dimension above time? Like there's time traveling and something. I'm not sure they're doing 4D.
The obvious joke there is, if there had been a 4D option and the fourth D was time to see Suicide Squad, that's what I would have selected so I could have gotten my time back. But the point that I'm going to suggest, 4D apparently is an immersive experience where there's motion and there's also smells and there's... So I don't know why, like, one dimension is all the other senses, but apparently it's every other sense other than audio and, well, maybe not taste, although smell is
Phil,
taste.
Didn't that used to be referred to as sense around back in the day when you go and see Earthquake
True, that's part of it, but also remember scratch and sniff.
Who could
apparently
forget?
They are excreting smells. Like, maybe there's a scene, again, I haven't seen it, and I don't want to spoil it, but maybe there's a scene that takes place in a bakery in Fantastic Beasts, and anyway, they tried to put fresh bread smell into the theater. Dean said that it ended up just everything smelled like a new car. It was just new car smell is what everything smelled like. But anyway, but I was curious about this, whether this was a thing in theaters there, 4D.
Hannah.
Well, I had not what I've experienced in the mainstream. I know some places do little 4D experiences. I went on one a few years ago at the London Eye, and they blew bubbles out at you. Mm. But when I went to the Odeon
No expense
night,
spared with the London Eye, Phil. They will blow bubbles out at you.
Yeah.
Alex was so dismissive. I don't know if I've ever heard Alex be that dismissive about anything. He just went, But you know who would love the eye experience with the bubbles? My cat, Fuzz Aldrin. Fuzz loves bubbles. Cats love bubbles.
Bubbles are fun.
That was the thing. Were there a lot of house cats in attendance?
Not that I saw, no.
I just think this notion of Michael Jackson also liked his bubbles. He was a chimpanzee, but there we are.
Well played. Now, the next question that the Drivettes have is, who's Michael Jackson?
Sometimes you're so close to the truth. Anyway, Natasha, any questions that you'd like to put to Phil, such as, what are you doing here? there we are.
Oh. No, we've heard your pick of the worst film of 2016. What would you dib as the best film you've seen this year?
Oh, I did not say that it would be my worst film of the year, Suicide Squad. And having gone on record about it, I can't possibly have it as my worst one because I need to surprise people. I usually try to pick as my worst film of the year one that people love, because then it just creates more controversy. But my best film of the... there's something to that. I don't really know. We do a show, obviously, each year with our top films of the year, and so many are coming out right now, so many hopefuls. But I would say that probably the best film that I have seen thus far in 2016 is something called Hell or High Water. And it stars Chris Pine and Ben Foster as bank-robbing brothers in Texas, and Jeff Bridges as the retiring Texas Ranger who is tracking them down. And it's very much a modern Western. It's set in contemporary time. But it's a fantastic film that subtextually is about what the banking industry has done to working-class America, and it's so exciting and so funny, and the acting is so good, and the interesting thing about how show business has changed. I mean, Chris Pine, Jeff Bridges, these are huge, huge stars. And in the case of Jeff Bridges, an Oscar-winning star. And if this movie were made in the 1970s, it would be a big studio picture that did big box office. But even a movie with action and comedy like this, it's an independent film, and it barely could get into theaters. But Hell or High Water has just about everything you could possibly want in a movie.
Well, it's got James T. Kirk and Starman, so what's not to appreciate in that particular scenario? Star Trek Beyond, of course, is doing wonderful.
Is it all right if I say that you just ruined it for me?
Lois, any questions from yourself or Phil?
I just need to know why you dislike Suicide Squad so much.
Oh, I've done show after show after show about. I mean, look, the next time the DC Cinematic Universe makes a halfway decent film, it will be the first time they make a halfway decent film. We've gone off so much. I mean, it's not just about why I disliked it, but why it ended up being so bad, and we went really behind the scenes of all that went wrong in that, how many times the script got thrown out and rewritten while they were making it, starting with when Tom Hardy, they thought they had Tom Hardy to play the lead, and the character that he played was, it was going to focus on him, and then he sent the script back after shredding it. That was his way of saying he was out of the project. So then they changed the casting, and they had to rewrite, and they had to refocus, and it was just one of these things where so many cooks in the kitchen, and it just never ended up being the movie they set out to make. So that's one of the reasons that it came out the way that it did. But yeah, look, there's I do a weekly show, and there's so much time spent talking about why we didn't.
But the trailer was good. Anyway.
It was. It ended up being good. Yeah, they ended up doing fantastic work in the marketing of it. You're absolutely right. And we love the fact that there was that lawsuit that came from the UK where people who'd seen it sued the people who made it and marketed it because they went to the movie because they really liked how the character of the Joker looked in it, and then it turns out the Joker's barely in the movie. We love that.
But don't worry, Lois, so. I'll still support you. It was okay, and I will probably be purchased. I've already pre-ordered the DVD, so there we are.
That does make me feel better.
Exactly.
Well, I liked the music.
And the music
was... I've listened to the tracks.
So there we have it. Phil, right. It falls to your good self as our senior telephonic co-presenter to actually put the last two questions to Martina, who's just had her first experience of 7,200 seconds of the midweek drive. So off you go, please, Phil, from Norway via America to Bury St. Edmunds via Stettin in Poland. Please ask away.
That put a lot of pressure on
these
two questions.
Exactly.
I mean, 7,200 seconds. Mm. Wow. Martina, did you enjoy your inaugural 7,200? It was inaugural, you're saying.
It was,
Alex.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Martina, did you enjoy your inaugural 7,200 seconds on the midweek drive, not counting me stumbling through the question?
I did really enjoy it. I learned so much, especially about Suicide Squad. Yes.
Somehow I knew before you answered that my appearance was your favorite part on the show. Martina!
We definitely agree on one thing.
Can I look forward to you appearing again on the midweek drive in the not too distant future?
I would love to appear again.
Well, that's it then. It's a success. Because we've had a few first years have gone off to flip burgers instead. We thought just step into another dimension. It's all the way. Martina will return. Exactly.
One day.
Next week. Tomorrow morning. It's all there. Do the whole sort of line of things, etc. So, Natasha, would you like to bowl the reciprocal questions to Phil Dennis, please, before we actually have to squeeze out of here, because clearly Eclectic Pulse and Word Perfect are all set and ready to actually go.
Yes. So, Phil, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
It was downright crazy. Of course, I loved it.
Excellent. And will you be joining us on the show again next week?
Oh, okay. You talked me into it.
Thanks to Cam over in Nashville, Linda Hewitt, of course, Nicola Downey and Tony Carter. Remember, don't drive with a mobile phone. Arthur Weingarten as ever from San Diego. Jasmine Bertels with some sage financial advice that Phil didn't even talk about in terms of the fairy on the top of the financial tree there. Never mind. Thanks to Ed Fortune and Phil Linus and, of course, in the team, Natasha Armstrong, Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, Lois Snart, Martina Vieca, and...
That's it.
And you, dear listener, for simply being with us. If you're Penny Evans and listening on podcast, don't worry, Penny. We've held back your reveal of your latest musical triumph, and we'll feature it in a couple of weeks' time, because it's Christmassy, so it will happen. That's it. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's no way back from here.